Good morning. This morning's readings taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 42. Eye for eye. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone asks you, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Well, here he is, 007, the spy who single-handedly preserves the British way of life. Whenever there is trouble, just call for Bond, James Bond. He will save the day. He's the person that lots of us would like to be. All action, all conquering, clever, athletic, and unbelievably good looking. Oh, well, 1 out of 5 isn't too bad, is it? Yet the contradiction is so weird. He's the man whose job it is to protect the British way of life, family values, justice, truth, and all things noble. But he does it by lying, killing, womanizing, deceit, violence, and just about everything else that is the very opposite of what he is defending. At the time of Jesus, there was much anticipation for God to send a Messiah, an anointed king, who would bring about the liberation of the Jewish nation. And the typical view of this Messiah was akin to James Bond, a dynamic military leader who would engage the enemy and win decisive battles. In other words, they were expecting that the Messiah would establish God's kingdom by use of violence, and that they would then be free to wreak revenge on their former oppressors. Well, Matthew's gospel that we're going through at the moment tells us that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah, but Jesus wasn't going to operate in the way that was expected. Jesus would bring about the kingdom of God, a kingdom of peace, forgiveness and love. But he wouldn't do it using violence. I find it helpful to view it as a map. I think more clearly in pictures. So here it is, the kingdom of God, the community of peace, forgiveness and love. But as we can see, it's surrounded by other realms. Realms consisting of violence, hatred, bitterness, and many more evils. Yes, we are surrounded by evil, but we don't fight evil with evil. Otherwise, we've let that evil into God's kingdom. We don't defend the kingdom that way. If we respond to violence with violence, then the kingdom of God has become a violent place. And violence has no place in God's kingdom. And neither do hatred or bitterness. And the passage that we're looking at this morning speaks directly into this issue of how we respond to evil. How do we respond when we're provoked? Indeed, it does so perhaps more than any other passage. Jesus gives 3 short examples, but not with the usual response of either fight or flight. Jesus demonstrates another way to respond, and that is by faith. A third way, a creative way, not the way of the world, but the way of the Spirit. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Or as one translation puts it, don't use violence to resist evil. Jesus quotes here from one of the most ancient laws, a law which appears in the Old Testament a few times, and other ancient Near Eastern texts. In Latin, this law is called lex talionis, which translates as exact retribution. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, a life for a life, often expressed nowadays as tit for tat. It probably sounds to our postmodern ears a bit bloodthirsty, demanding an eye for an eye. But actually, its original aim was to limit bloodshed. For without this law, revenge would have undoubtedly degenerated into family or even tribal feuds. Instead of equal retribution, things could quickly escalate. A tooth for a mere insult. An eye for just a tooth. A life for an eye. Two lives for one life. A family for two lives. It would get worse and worse. And this law of lex talionis prevents or limits each person from doing whatever their hurt and anger incites them to do in their pursuit of revenge. But Jesus here abolishes this external law, or says, you know, that's been said, but I'm telling you something better, and introduces instead a spirit-driven way of living. And my paraphrase is this: you have heard it said, limit your vengeance, but I say to you, have a spirit of non-retribution. Jesus wants our way of life to be like his, where our actions arise from a spirit that's been freed from bitterness and resentment. Actions that don't respond to violence, hatred and bitterness with more of the same, but do, as Paul says in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I find it amazing that nowadays we have three pithy sayings that all come from these next few verses. Turn the other cheek, the shirt off your back, go the extra mile. And they were all introduced by Jesus. So let's see what Jesus meant when he first gave these examples of how to respond to evil. So, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. One of my friends became a follower of Jesus when she was still at school. And one day the school bully slapped her round the face. So thinking she was being a good Christian, she turned the other cheek. Whereupon, the school bully promptly slapped her round the other cheek. That's probably the picture that comes to mind for us. Please hit me, I'm a doormat. But what my friend and the school bully and we don't take into account is the social setting at the time when Jesus said these words. If someone were to hit you on the right cheek, it meant they'd given you a backhanded slap with their right hand, as you can see in the picture. Whack. An action that was designed not so much to physically hurt, but to insult you, to humiliate you, and to demean you. Because this kind of blow was only given to inferiors. So the action says, you're below me, I'm the superior one, an action that's meant to put us in our place and hurt our pride. And Jesus is saying, don't react and fight. Don't react with fight and hit the other person back. That's succumbing to evil. Don't fight violence with violence. But Jesus is also saying, don't react with flight and just accept being hit. That's being overcome by evil. React by faith and confront the attitude behind the slap. Because by turning the other cheek and only offering your left cheek, it meant one was saying, well, if you hit me again, you'll have to hit me as an equal, not an inferior. See, at the time, it was taboo to strike someone with the left hand, as the left hand was kept for unclean tasks. The only option would be to hit someone's left cheek with your right hand, be to punch them. And only equals fought like that. Only equals would fight with their fists. Not fight or flight, but react with faith. Confront the evil graciously. Don't respond to evil as the world does, but respond by the Spirit. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Now, thinking back to COVID, who was it who still made lots of money during COVID while everyone else was suffering and losing income and things like that? Possibly, yes, yes. They didn't have those in Jesus' time, but it was the rich. My suggestion is it was the rich, those with power, the money lenders. While everyone else was losing out due to the pandemic, these people were still raking it in. For example, demanding rent from shop owners who'd lost their income. And it's these people who are the ones who will be taking others to court and wanting the shirt off their back. It was the actions of the rich which were reducing the common people to shame and poverty. Most people in Jesus' time wore only two garments, a shirt and a coat. A bit confusing for us because the shirt was in fact the outer garment and the coat was the underwear, inner garment. So the shirt was worn over the top of the coat. And Jesus says, if someone wants your shirt, the outer garment, hand over your coat as well. Give them everything you are wearing. That's why it's censored. In other words, shame the rich person by standing in court naked. Let them see what their actions are really doing to you. They are growing rich at your expense. Their greed is causing you shame and poverty. So Jesus again gives a very creative example of how to respond to evil, and at the same time probably evoking smiles from the crowd that were listening as they pictured what was going on in their minds. React in faith and confront the evil with humility. Right, I searched on the internet, and apparently this is a picture of a typical backpack carried by Roman soldiers. They were allowed to pick on anyone and demand that they carry their backpack for them for 1 mile and no more. Indeed, there were penalties if the soldier made someone carry a backpack for more than a mile. So, Jesus says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Jesus says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Instead of walking the first mile with the soldier, whilst you gradually fill up with rage and bitterness at how unfair this is, do it gracefully and with humility. And then in that spirit, offer to go the extra mile. Of course, the soldier could not accept your offer in case they were punished. This time, the crowd were probably laughing as they dwell on the scene that ends up with the soldier begging for you to return the backpack to them so that you don't get them into trouble. Let your response come from a spirit of love, not bitterness. A spirit of mercy and not hate. Respond with faith and humour. Okay, but let's come back to this map. The kingdom of God surrounded by violence, hatred and bitterness. But if you notice, down the right-hand side of the map, there's a blue area, which of course is the sea. In the Bible, the sea represents the forces of chaos and confusion, a huge power that threatens to overwhelm us. Today, we have something else that consists of chaos and confusion and threatens to overwhelm us. It's not the sea, powerful as it is, it's social media. Mark Drakeford, the former First Minister of Wales, said this about social media. The real world is actually a lot kinder. Because online it's much easier to write hateful things, abusive things, bitter things, when we're not present face to face with our opponent. From a distance it's much easier to write horrible things. Yet we have to resist this temptation to respond to hate with hate, to respond to abuse with abuse, to respond to bitterness with bitterness. How do we reflect God's love when we are provoked online? It's a question that we can think about, but we may not be able to think of exactly what to write in advance. It's very difficult to do that. But we can resolve to let the Holy Spirit help us respond in faith. Jesus told his disciples what to do when they appeared in court. In Luke 12 it says, "Do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." And that same principle applies for us as we are tested online. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can respond with grace, humility, and humour. Ritesh was saying earlier about reading Psalm 23. We can, when we get confronted, provoked with things on social media, we don't have to respond immediately, as many do, but we can ask God to help us, receive from God, give us the words to say so that we can respond not with fight or flight, but with faith. Wouldn't it be great, though, if we could simply live far away from the front line of not just social media, but all the evils surrounding the kingdom of God? Look, if we could be there just right in the middle where there's nothing, you know, we don't have to bother about all these things around us. And it reminds me of a character we meet in the Old Testament called Jabez. We read in 1 Chronicles 4:10 that Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Wow. In the 1990s, it was widely promoted by the prosperity gospel that we should all pray this prayer, basically suggesting that God would give us all a charmed life, where we don't have to deal with the evils that befall everyone else. Well, it's in the Bible. Well, yes, it is, but it seems to be there as an exception rather than the rule. The author of Chronicles writes, "And God granted his request." And I can imagine a massive exclamation mark after it. "And God granted his request?" That's the exception. Wanting to lead a charmed life is effectively responding to evil with flight. And that's not an option for us. We're called to live on the front line. Just like Ritesh was saying, he's called to live on the front line. To battle with evil, but not be overcome by it. We're called not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. We're called to let the Holy Spirit free us from the violence, hatred, and bitterness within us, so that we may respond, not as the world does, but we may respond by faith and love and peace and mercy, to live in the kingdom of God and demonstrate God's love to the hurting world around us. Amen. I'll just invite the musicians to come up and we can spend a few moments to just reflect on what God said to us. I'll lead us in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the amazing things that you did on while you were here on earth. Thank you for your healings and demonstrations of power. But Lord, thank you too for your teaching. And thank you that at the moment we're looking at your teaching. And we pray that you would help us to be able to be with you, to become more like you, and to do what you did. Help us, Lord, to be filled with your Holy Spirit that would remove from us the hurts and the bitterness and the anger that we can so often get when we get provoked. Lord, help us to have those taken away and enable us to respond in faith, to respond in love. Lord, to be able to be your eyes, hands, ears, feet to a hurting world, that as we do what you did, we can spread your love and enlarge your kingdom here on earth. Amen.